שלום, אנחנו קוראים בספר כתרי.
Hello, we're reading Bala Sulam's letter 13. You can ask questions during the lesson at cup.tv and selected questions will be aired live. Again, the writings of Bala Sulam in Hebrew, page 669, there's no English text, letter 13 by Bala Sulam. I've received your words with a heart full of longings, for you shall hide yourself from me. Nonetheless, you can speak with me through the writings. And what you've written me, that you will let me know the exile of Egypt, I wonder about it. Go study this in every school. And I cried out, and the cry rose to the Creator from the work. Then, and the Creator knew. And if it wasn't for the knowledge of the Creator in the exile, redemption would be impossible. And the knowledge of the exile itself is the cause for redemption. And how can you say, to let me know during the time of redemption? And truth should show its way, that one who feels the sorrow lets his sorrow be known, and he cannot hold back and conceal it. Indeed, I feel all of you together that you have replaced today with tomorrow, and instead of now, you say, later. There is no cure for that, but to strain to understand that error and perversion, that only those who need salvation today are salvaged by the Creator. And those who can wait for tomorrow will obtain their wit after their years, God forbid. This came upon you due to your negligence in my request to exert in love of friends. As I've explained to you in every possible manner, that this remedy is sufficient to complement for your every deficiency. And if you cannot rise to the heavens, I have given before you moves in the land. And why did you not add at this work at all? And in addition to the great remedy that is concealed in that, which I will not explain, you should know that there are many sparks of sanctity in each person in the group. When you collect all the sparks of sanctity into one place, as brothers, with love and friendship, you will certainly have a very high level of sanctity from the light of life for the time being. And I've already written about it in length in all my letters to the friends. And I also asked that each and every one will show his letter to his friend, and so should you do as well. And examine me from today to understand and to hear me, at least in whatever you are able to do, because then the Creator will open to you His good treasure. And to you should say that he should do his own calculation. And what would he lack if he would start a letter exchange with me? And why does he conceal himself from me? And I greatly ask him to exert to see the merits of the friends and not their deficiencies at all, and that he should connect with them in true love together until and love covers all transgressions. And he will do well to read all the letters that I send to the friends and to no longer eat the bread of laziness. Where are the rabbi and the rabbi? I heard nothing from them until today. And tell them that in any case they should hold the clothes of their friends and read their letters, and not to forget that the first question is, did you accept salvation? And if they are expecting salvation, is it possible for them to say that this work is suitable for those who desire the Creator? And if I had to save the lives of any of them, any of the friends, certainly I would have labored and exerted more than you, and moreover, the life of the king, as if. Therefore, increase the dowry and the gifts to the king of the world, and then you will marry the king's daughter, and the salvation of the Lord is in the blink of the eye.
The most important in our work is persistence.
we must not disrespect, underestimate any little incident, moment, an opportunity where this concept of I labored and I found comes from. Usually, a person thinks, like it is in our life, he makes an egoistic calculation. He says, well, if I come out of bed now, then I'll profit at least, well, $200, $300 a day. But working for $50, I won't get up for that. So to his ego, that calculation could be true. But if we're talking about working in order to bestow, then he must take into account that in his work, his benefit will be as much as he gives. Gives to advance towards the Creator. So here, even one penny, so to speak, could be not a penny, but worth billions. That depends on the greatness he relates to the one he bestows to. That's why the calculation must be one of bestowal, not reception. In a calculation of bestowal, the more we disregard something and it seems to us inferior, not so important, then it's actually the opposite. Our labor, our effort multiplies many times over the little work we do. What seems to me insignificant, unimportant, in my corporeal eyes, if I shift it to the other side, then it appears as an opportunity. And a little effort, but great opportunity. Why? Because everything is scrutinized in thought. This means that it actually isn't so difficult to scrutinize small issues. You know, things that seem, well, no, it's not so important. But to get up and do something is also not that important. It's just a matter of some small scrutiny where I'm kind of, you know, debating. It's a small effort. But if I make that effort, which in my eyes is unimportant in my corporeal eyes, and then I get up and do it, it appears that this already is a spiritual action. And although on the corporeal egoistic level, the calculation could be a small one, a minor one, but in bestowal, it's a great one. Because once again, if I, after I make the effort, I begin to think, who do I bestow to? Then my benefit is accordingly, because the main thing is the greatness of the Creator. And in the yearning to recognize His greatness specifically, not Him, but His greatness, that's how we reveal Him. We take Him, bring Him out of the hiding place. Because there is no difference between revelation and concealment besides our disrespect towards Him, or on the contrary, trying to feel His greatness. That's the only parameter that changes our kli, and thus we achieve revelation. We have to realize that the sensitivity that we have to discover the Creator relies on the craving towards his greatness. It's like in any detecting device, when you raise the range of sensitivity to 10 times more, 100 times more, 1,000 times more, and as he raises sensitivity, you're detecting some phenomenon. So what is raising the sensitivity in this case? It means raising the importance of a certain phenomenon in comparison to any other phenomenon. Let's say you're in some space, and there are many different phenomena there, different fields, let's say, wavelengths, TV, broadcasts, all kinds of frequencies. And I tune in to a certain frequency, and I raise the sensitivity to it in a specific, focused manner. In a focused manner. And then I choose it from the rest of the things. Our world is full of noises, full of frequencies. But if I want to know, let's say, who is talking on a certain mobile device, let's say you, right? So I have to tune my detector to your frequency specifically. So I must focus all of my attention in that way to the greatness and importance of the Creator and raise the sensitivity to it as much as I can. And the persistence in that actually discloses that phenomenon called Creator, which is the underlying force of the world, like the general frequency, let's say. It's like in our world, you know, there's a foundation. It's like those cells, how do you call them? Like stem cells. Or there are other physics phenomena that are explained that way, like as fundamental elements. But so here I'm tuning in to discover the general force of reality. When we explain about greatness, importance, or the awe or respect, all those words, we have to realize what we mean by that is to express that sensitivity only to that phenomenon and as much as possible. And that's how we discover. Therefore, one who tries to feel that there is none else besides him, the good that does good, who works behind the scenes, especially behind the friends, the group, and so on, then he always keeps raising his sensitivity of his soul. His soul is that detector, that device to detect the Creator. And that's how he advances. Yes.
Avinom from Hadera asks, what should the group do so that each one of its friends, each one of its members, would feel that he requires redemption?
I cannot aim myself at the Creator without calibrating myself, zeroing out myself correctly by the friends. There's nothing else for me to start comparing myself with. There, in general, there's no basis, boundaries, discernments, anything. It's like, you know, like they use the white screen to do white balance on the cameras. Or in any other device, you know. You have to start from something. Otherwise, you're in the air. It's like we use, you know, Greenwich time as a parameter and so on. So, same thing with respect to the Creator. You see, people give all kinds of definitions for the Creator in religions and belief systems and so on. Everyone fantasizes whatever they feel like. So, specifically through the shattering of the vessels, we were given this opportunity to not be confused about it. Because with respect to the group, with respect to the friends, especially the group, I can calibrate myself as, you know, as a tuner, you know, just like when you use a tuner, you know, for, I think the sound there is 440 hertz. And then that's the basic sound that you use in order to calibrate all the other sounds. So anyway, there has to be at least one parameter that I can calibrate myself towards, and then you continue. Israel, the light and the Creator is one. But there's a process like that. It's a must. Otherwise, how can I discover what I'm supposed to discover? I have to calibrate my device correctly. And all that ladder of spiritual degrees where I constantly work on more and more unification of all the souls, of all people, let's say, all reality as one, it's basically better and better calibration, finer tuning towards what's called Creator. Until I reach what's called a point, meaning it's the last precision where all of my desires and qualities are added to it. And, well, that's also what's called the Violin of David, but anyway, this is what it means that I achieve adhesion. That in all my qualities, I can reveal that phenomenon called Creator.
A question of a student, how can I be stubborn? Doesn't the Creator do everything? And he can throw me tomorrow somewhere, do whatever he wants.
I don't feel the question. What does it matter to throw or not? I have to be stubborn. And I must make sure that even though I feel that he seems to be throwing me around, I don't leave. I get support from the environment so as to not escape. And the more we advance, we will feel from his side all kinds of rejections, turn-offs, bad relations, actually. It's like, what, that's the work I'm supposed to do and that's the reward of it? Every time like that, with respect to the new broken will to receive, the relations you'll discover from the Creator's side will be unpleasant. Let's say, it won't make sense. It's not reasonable. And from the friends, you'll also discover them as worse and lower, and the whole path will seem, you know, like, what's the logic here, and how does it make sense? And in general, what? To appreciate the Creator, the group, the path, we are still in something we think of as great and exalted in our egoistic mind. In our corporeal mind, we still think that this world is worthless compared to what we have. We have some foundation that's higher above all, but it only seems to us right now like that. If we'll be stronger tomorrow, we'll see a completely different picture, that we have nothing to hold on to in this path. The Creator, that's, what is it? It's just some sort of an imaginary thing, doesn't exist or anything. And the group or the friends, these are just empty people. And the group and all of that, what's the logic of it? And who attains anything and so on? And you know, well, okay, so they wrote it. There's many theories that were written. There will come all kinds of confusions like that, where a person as if holds on by a miracle only. Right now, because we are weaker, only because of that we get a feeling that there's an importance for towards the books, the group. So the teacher, okay, so at some point the teacher will go away. And that's it. And the books, okay, they can stay on the shelf and so on. We have to prepare ourselves for advanced, difficult situations. And here I see people run away, you know, for little things. Oh, I didn't get my candy the second time or third time. It doesn't pay off. It's before they even started being confused and pushed away from spirituality. And they already escape. We have to acknowledge that the Creator stands behind the entire picture that we feel, meaning what I feel myself and the world. The picture is not what's in front of me. The picture means everything that's in my feeling. And here, when I accept that picture and try to feel it in mind and heart in all of its depth and in all directions, after I describe it that way, I have to say that there is none else besides Him, that there is someone behind it, stabilizing, designing that picture, with the intention that I'll respond to that picture correctly. Which means what? Which means by your actions we know you. Meaning His actions is myself and the world. And by that we know you means that I want to permeate that into Him and acknowledge Him as a force of bestowal that's good, that does good.
Here from Hatzalia asks, earlier you mentioned the issue of echelons of measurements. What are the measurements that we need to use in order to not to deviate? Because even a small deviation can lead me to the wrong place.
Again?
He's asking, what are yardsticks for calibration so that we won't deviate? Because even a small deviation can take me to the wrong place.
Deviations, yeah, sure. Great ones or small ones is a very subjective matter, but the calibration is something I do by myself. It's not good if the Creator does it for me. That's our whole life. He's trying to direct you towards the goal. And He does that by all kinds of indirect disturbances. It's like a rocket that is being fired towards a target, then it's constantly fluctuating and comparing itself towards the target, like a homing missile. So the Creator does the same thing with respect to us, and then that calibration appears to us as problems, troubles, suffering. But in fact, it's a calibration. It's like what we do with children. They want to run away this way, that way, that direction, this direction, and they don't hear to us, to our soft calibration. So they have to run into our limitations. And they see that they suffer blows because of that, and accordingly, they advance. But they advance with not willingly, but against their will and extending the time. You know, there are these devices that you can leave in the middle of the room, and they clean the room. So they have this component that can identify the shape of the room to begin with, and even touch the room in a certain way to, you know, to study it and so on. So in a similar way, you know, the wise one can learn, but those who aren't can't learn. Seeing, foreseeing the future outcome comes from recognition of the past. Why do we remember the past? It's in order to not make the same mistake in the future.
Shai from Rehovot asks, how do we raise this sensitivity of our sensor? Is it through the connection between us, or is the connection just a condition for the light to enter?
Everything appears in the group. Everything, meaning all types of calibration that a person needs in depth, height, width, certain qualities, everything. It's all in the group. There's no problem here. We'll move on to the next part.
Moving on to the next part from the Zohar.